Let's turn in God's Word to Acts chapter 9, and we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 43. Acts chapter 9, and verses 1 through 43. God's people, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. These are God's words. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. And when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. And those are God's words. Here we have at the beginning the account of the murderer and persecutor of God's people being converted by Jesus Christ by the Lord's mercy and grace and power, and granted life forever in Christ. And through verse 9, we see how Paul was first awakened in heart and life when Christ appeared unto him. Having believed, he was baptized. Through verse 19, by Ananias, though reluctant, Ananias obeyed the Lord. And immediately the Lord began using Saul to preach the gospel. Through verse 22, and because of this, he was persecuted by the Jews that he himself used to encourage to persecute all the saints and all the church of God. Even they sought to kill him, through verse 25. And then Saul came to Jerusalem, in which again, more the apostles, disciples were afraid of him, through verse 30, and it was attested by Barnabas how he had preached and was persecuted by the Jews. In verse 31, there we see the persecution ceased, or at least the great persecution that was happening under Saul, that had ceased and rested. And because the church had grown so much through these sufferings and persecutions of God's people, as it was, as we said previously, so the gospel, the church, had spread throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And that we praise the Lord for in such a short time. And then through verse 35, we see the miracle of healing of Aeneas by Peter, confirming the gospel message and continuing the increase of the church. And the many believed there, and all beloved lived in Lydda, and Saron turned to the Lord, it says. And then the end of the chapter, the raising up of Tabitha from the dead at Peter's calling. And many more believed through the miracles confirming the gospel message. So that if the Lord, through Peter, can heal the dead, so the dead in heart are our God in Christ can raise up from the dead even the worst kind of sinner, dead in heart like Paul. The great murderer and persecutor of Christians. If he can heal the dead through his servant Peter, then he can heal the dead in heart. Even the greatest murderer, one of the greatest murderers of his church, Paul or Saul. And so we ought to believe, congregation, in the power and the authority that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the effectual working of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of all His elect, whoever they may be. As we will hear this evening, that which is impossible for man, and we often think it as impossible, is possible with God. And for that we must praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You once again that You are a gracious God, a merciful God. You have turned the many of our hearts to You in faith. Nothing like what You did with Saul here in appearing unto him and speaking directly and audibly to him. And yet today we hear You speak. Even in the preaching of Your Word, as we read Your Word, we hear You. And You call unto us. And Father, we're thankful as we think about friends or family or neighbors. Often we doubt Your power and the power of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to save sinners. And here is another example of one that You saved, who was a wicked, wicked man, who persecuted and murdered Your children. And yet, even him You saved and showed mercy to and grace to. And You, as we look back in all the Scriptures, we see who we consider the murderer of all mankind, Adam. You even turned his heart unto You and saved him. Gracious God, You are a merciful and gracious Lord and Savior in Christ Your Son, that all of Your elect, whoever they may be, no matter how wicked they might be at the first, You will send Your Word and Your Holy Spirit and save them alive unto God. And You'll bring them to Yourself and make them perfectly holy and blessed forever. We're thankful for Your mercy that You've shown to us. Also, those who deserve nothing good, but only evil continually, who are wicked of ourselves and nothing that we can do is good. Apart from Jesus, we can do no good. And that even our righteousness is as filthy or menstrual rags. Unclean. And yet You in Your great power saved us from death to life. May those who are blind to see, as we heard this morning, may those who are lost found, even like the prodigal son. And Father, how grateful we must be. We give You all thanks for this. And we pray that You'd bring many more unto You through the great power of the gospel of Your Son. And so we pray that You would pour forth Your Holy Spirit and do Your wonders. Our Father, we do thank You today for our nation. We are thankful for our nation. We're thankful for the many blessings that we have and have had in this nation. And yet, Father, we confess the great sins of our nation as well, that we have turned from You as citizens, as a nation as a whole. We have broken Your commandments. We have broken covenant with You as a nation. We have turned from the ways that were instructed to our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents and the word that they had, and yet turned from them. And yet, Father, we ask now that You would turn our hearts unto You. You would turn the hearts of our leaders and grant them salvation. So we do pray for kings and rulers and all in authority, as You command us to do, that You would save them for you save all sorts of people. And even rulers and kings who are wicked and hate you now. Father, we pray that you would turn them to yourself today and show how great your power is and how wonderful your mercy is. And you would cause them to rule according to your word. And you would put an end to the senseless murders, abortions, and euthanasia, and all the wickedness that we see in hospitals and things that are happening and have happened. Father, turn all these from that great sin of murder. Turn the citizens of this nation and our leaders from the great sin that we see so often in adultery and sexual perversions of our society and nation. But above all, Lord, our nation has turned from you. We have no longer have any care of the Sabbath, the Lord's Day. You can see that as we drive here. Many people shopping and going and buying goods and selling goods and not resting their souls in you. And we have, as a nation, made other gods. Even in our Constitution, the very First Amendment, which encourages freedom of religion. That means not just freedom to worship you, Father, but a freedom in the nation to worship false gods, which is an encouragement to worship false gods. And so, Father, turn us from this way, that we would no longer be dishonoring and rejecting you, but a nation that honors you, covenants with your Son. And this we plead for, because we know that judgments come and judgments are going to come, greater judgments, in which we might even now be anxious about. Cause us to put our trust in you and our faith in Christ your Son. We pray for those who are sick this evening. Thankful that Chuck and Jeannie are here this evening. We pray for Dina, who's not feeling well, and any others who are sick. Grant them good health and strengthen our weak bodies and frail muscles and bones to not only worship you, but live for you in this life, that we would spend our energies as living sacrifices for your glory alone, knowing that we have a greater hope in the life to come, even new glorified bodies that we have a reminder of here and the raising up of the dead. And that alone in Christ your Son, who on the third day rose from the dead and now sits enthroned in glory. Father, grant us these things, many blessings, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that your kingdom would come. And in that we pray that you would destroy Satan's kingdom and Satan's hold in any part of our lives. And that the only hold upon us would be the gospel and Jesus your Son. And you, Father, by your Spirit. And that no longer we would grieve or quench the Spirit, but honor and submit to Him. In all things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.